Good morning. So, as we get ready for the message this morning, I'll preface it with, I'm a spring guy, spring training, I love it. I listened to the Guardians two or three times this week. So that's kind of where I thought I was headed with this message, and the title is In Like a Lion, Out Like the Lamb. I'm going to pray. We'll get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I ask you to shut my mind down and just give my tongue what you want me to say, Lord, and just, I know the message you've laid upon me, and just give me those words to make it clear to everybody, and give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So when you think of lion and the lamb, we have two very different species of animals. You know, the adjectives we use for lion are terrifying, aggressive, mean, whatever. And we think of lamb, and you think of just peace. You think of perfection. And so the two boys, Harvey and Beckett, I'm not saying which one's the lion and which one's the lamb, but they're totally different. But then they're the same as well. And you know, when we get into different things each one have, it's pretty cool to see. And you know, as God looks at me, I have different things than what Verlton Kunze has, or Rob Landon has, or Shannon has, or whatever. We are all different, but when God looks at us, he sees the Lamb of God covering us. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. We're going to dig right in. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 6 to start with. And this is a time when, you know, Daniel was selected as a counselor, if you will, to the king. And he interpreted some dreams and did some different things for him. But in Daniel 6, and we're only going here because I want to hear about I want you to understand the lion. But in verse 16, the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. So the king at this point knew that he had to punish Daniel. And I think it's fitting that the punishment of the time in this time period was, yeah, you know, I'm going to throw you into the lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but can you imagine being Daniel? You know, you were chosen to help this king, and all you did was help this king, and you enriched his kingdom. But then because some people saw you praising God and praying to God continuously, the king, because of a decree that he had ordered, had to punish Daniel. So sometimes we're thrown into the lion's den. Sometimes we're thrown into the lion's den out there in the world today. Sometimes it's not because of punishment. It's just because that's the world we live in. But note that in 18 that the king, when he went back to his palace, it wasn't life as usual for the king. He didn't go back and have a feast for supper. He didn't go back and just go about his business. He went back and it says he fasted and he thought about Daniel at this point. Then at the, day, at the verse 19, then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces. So that last section there is put into the Bible to finish the story, number one, but it's a place we can turn to as Christians when people say, oh, you know, there were so many stories that they put tame lions in them when they threw Daniel in. No, they didn't. These lions were hungry. These lions were hungry. And we face that same kind of things out in the world today. But I want to take you to what Daniel's response was. You know, Daniel didn't necessarily go kicking and screaming into that lion's den. And when he was there, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Like the lamb. Because in all essence, Daniel was the lamb there. He was thrown into what should have been a slaughter. But it was not, because of his trust in the true Lamb of God. And I think we can learn so much from that. But I want to continue on, because there's times somebody says, "Well, yeah, that's great, Matt." But so okay, let's go into Jesus' life here. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, 40 through 45. And I'm trying to bring you times, show you examples of when the lion was rearing his head, but the lamb overcame. Am I going to have to look it up, Julie? So, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hands and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. And you think, well, what does that have to do with lion and lamb? Again, this was about the time that Jesus was starting to get noticed. Jesus was in a pack of lions. He was in there every single day. And because of his love that he showed and his gentleness that he showed, he took mercy on this man with leprosy. And again, if you read and you see the footnote for leprosy, it just says a severe skin disorder. I don't know. Boils. I don't know what it was. I'm guessing it was not something that could be hidden, because everybody knew this guy had leprosy, so it was probably an ugly looking stuff. Okay? Now, modern medicine has made it so I can lift my shirt and you're not going to see my leprosy. But I'm pretty sure I got it. If I'm not on the medication, I just like hives and itch. And I mean, it's miserable. And I'm kidding when I say I have leprosy. But I have, they call it dermatitis, and I don't know what it's from. But man, do I itch all over. And every door frame in my house I use as a scratching post. I'm like a cat because it just itches so bad. But when I'm on this pill, it seems to be fine. Jesus took all that away from this guy. Like the gentle lamb he is. He said, yes, I will heal you today. But do not just go to the priest and show him. Don't go spreading what I've done. Well, this guy was filled with it, right? Imagine. Imagine getting healed of that. Are you going to keep that quiet? This guy was running through town, man. He was like, look what Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did for me. And I don't go out there like a lion and proclaiming that. I should. I got to be a lion. I should be screaming that from the mountaintops, what Jesus did for me, because I'm worse than any leper. I'm worse than any prostitute. I'm worse than any blind guy, paralyzed guy. Jesus can fix it all. I'm just a dumb fat guy that's getting old. But at the end of the day, I'm a broken down sinner. That because of that cross and that resurrection, I'm as white as a lamb. I'm as perfect as a lamb. Let's go to the next passage, Mark 4. 35 through 41. And I've preached on this one before, and I'm not going to give a whole sermon on it, but I wanted to highlight it because, again, the lion showed itself. The lion showed itself. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He then said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the lion came in the form of a storm. And the lion was the lion, the storm, man, it had those disciples. It had them in his mouth. You know that you might go to the circus, see the guy that sticks his head in the lion's mouth, right? Crazy. Crazy. But that's where the disciples felt like they were. They were right there in the lion's mouth and they were panicked. And the lamb was asleep. He was asleep. And then I love Jesus because I see myself in this response. Jesus was bitter that they woke him up and he said, why do you guys have no faith? He fixed it. He fixed it, but then he became the lion to these disciples and said, why do you, this is one of the few times that I can imagine as I'm reading this passage, Jesus physically being upset with these disciples. Why do you guys not believe? But then he becomes back like the sheep and takes him under his wing, and he just forgives. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being on the sea and the boats fill them with water? Number one, not getting on that boat, first of all. Not happening. If the boat's going more than five rows deep out in the water, I'm not getting on it. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I tease my wife all the time that we're going to go on a cruise. We're not. Even if she were to agree, we're not. I don't think I could do it. And I know it's a city on in the water, and I get it. I just can't. I've seen Titanic too many times. I'm not going to do it. So for me, that's my lion. There is no way I'm getting on a boat. No way. But the water is pouring over. So it leads me to ask this question. Was Jesus not getting wet? Have you ever thought about that? It says he was in the stern of the boat. I don't know anything about boats, but I'm guessing the stern is like probably the high point. Stern is the high point of the boat, up front, back. So the stern is in the back. Okay. Which makes it even worse in my mind, because the boat would be like this. The water should be getting to Jesus, and he's just sleeping. Said he was on a cushion, though. It must have been a water-absorbent one. But the Lamb of God arose, and he spoke to the water, and it was still, flat, nothing. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. That's the Lamb of God, which is perfect. I got two more passages, actually. Luke 23:34. And this is, okay, I'm going to backtrack. I don't have passage for it, but in like a lion, out like the lamb. Here it is. A week ago to this day, Jesus came in to the city, and what did they do? They put him on a donkey, and it was like a parade. It was like a circus coming in. And I made the comment to Brittany when we were doing communion, they waited, and my circus came through the communion line, and it's fun to watch because the boys like coming up front. Harvey's got a smile on his face while he's walking with Shelby's hands, and it's pretty cool to see, but it's quite a role. So that's what I imagine when Jesus came in to the city. He was coming in as the King, as the Messiah, as the great Lion. There was a big deal made of this. Okay? Fast forward to Friday morning. They were shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And in all that time when he was beaten, when he was questioned, I love when he was questioned, he said, "If that's who you say I am." That's a pretty cool statement right there. Because Jesus was turning it all back on them. Do you believe? And then here we go. This is as Jesus is being crucified. In verse 34, it says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments." So even in his time of despair, he was gentle like a lamb and thought of everyone else. That's the God we serve. That's what we should take pride in. That's what that cross signifies. Because he wasn't talking about those people nailing him on a cross. He was talking about me. He was asking forgiveness for me right there. "For they know not what they do," as well as the people that were hanging him on the cross. We got one more passage during the crucifixion that shows just the Lamb that we serve. As we know, he was hung with two criminals. He was in the middle, one on his left, one on his right. And in verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Son of Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Verse 42, "And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's the promise we take from our Lamb. That's the promise that we have every day, because we are broken sinners. When we talked about it today at Sunday school, we're talking about the integration of church into discipleship, what that looks like, the different parts of church. And why is it so hard for us? Because we understand that church is a community. It's not the building. It's not the, you know, you can build a $4 million church. That's not the church. The church is the people inside of it. The community that gathers knowing that they're all the same. Because we are all the same. Even though we're different as persons, we are all the same as Christians. We're all broken down sinners that need that cross and need that empty tomb to glorify our God. We don't do a great job on our own. I contend I do a terrible job on my own. But when I come and I remember the grace that Jesus has showed me through the cross and through the empty tomb, then it kind of hits different. It makes me put away some of my manly my manly stuff that I get here on earth. But as we head into, you know, I don't know when officially spring starts. Maybe it already has. All I can tell you is I've had 10 days of softball practice, and 5 of those days have been outside in February. So March is coming. I've seen some forecasts where we're going to get some snow tonight, and I say that because I don't want it, but it's going to come. Everything is starting to, we'll start to green up, we'll start to see Jesus, we'll start to see God in everything outside. You know, the grass will start growing, the trees will start budding, the flowers will start popping, it'll start looking like we like it to look. Right now, when I look at my yard, I see, ugh, man, I got a lot of work to do. When I look at my Christian life, I say, ugh, I got a lot of work to do. But if I'm willing to go and do the work, you know how good my Christian life could look? A lot better than my yard, I can tell you that. My wife started in last week. So here's my schedule right now. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I go to work. I come home at 2 o'clock. I try to get to school by 3 o'clock. I have practice from 4 to 7. I come home 7:30, 7:45. I eat supper. I take a shower. I go to bed. Repeat. I feel bad for my wife. She's a trooper and puts up with it for 2 or 3 months. But it's still worth it to me because I see the girls that we're able to reach that we wouldn't have been able to reach any other way. Because if I just go to school and start talking to a bunch of girls, it doesn't look real good, right? But since I'm a coach and I got 25 of them, 28 of them playing softball, I can talk to them. I can be a representative of Christ every single day. And they don't even know that I'm representing Christ. But we talk about things in leadership, and we talk about the way we do things, and we try to give them a good example. So I feel like we can make a difference. And that's one of the ways I'm able to go out and reach people. It's not because it's easy for me to coach. It's hard for me to share my faith. I'm like a lion when I'm coaching. Anybody that's ever played under me knows that, because I roar a few times. Usually it was at my own kids, but Lexi got to witness some of that as well. But when I'm in my element, I always end up like the lamb, and I become gentle and I talk through things. But when I first come out, man, it's like the lion. And my lion and lamb analogy is whatever. It is what it is. But the Lamb of God was sacrificed on that cross for us. And we could have went a bunch of different directions, but I wanted to kind of use this as a preface for Easter, because Easter's coming, you know, a month from now it's Easter. Think about that. So for the next month, I want you to really think about where you're at in your relationship with Christ. Where are you at in the understanding that He sent, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live here on the earth as an innocent lamb and to be sacrificed as an innocent, perfect lamb on the cross for me, for you. And I want us to live, I want us to live that way 365. But for the next 30 days, I challenge you to really dig in to your relationship with Jesus and your relationship and your understanding of the crucifixion and of the resurrection, because one without the other is no good. If Jesus was just crucified for us, it's a great story. But does it end there? When we add the resurrection to it and He actually beats death and gives us hope for our eternal future, that's the icing on the cake, right? That's the, man, that's the final statement. If you have more questions about that, we'll be here. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you've never, if you don't understand where I'm coming from with this Jesus and the lamb and the lion and the resurrection, the crucifixion, if you want to know more about that, there's no day like today. If you have needs that you need prayed for, come forward, and we'd love to do that. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to talk about that, come forward and we'll lead you through that. If you've never been baptized, you want to be baptized, let's get it on the books. Because the Lamb is coming back. The Lamb is coming back. And He wants us to live with Him for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today, and Lord, we thank You that You loved us enough to come and live on this earth and to come and pay the ultimate sacrifice for us and be that lamb that took all the blood, the need for our blood, away. And You were resurrected from the dead and beat life so that we now understand what eternity looks like, Lord. We love You, and we praise You, we give You all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.